You're listening to the Quince Podcast. We're back with the Aussie Challenge Podcast. In India are 233 for 6 at the end of day 1 against Australia in the Test Series opener at Adelaide. My guest Ayaz Memon is with me right now. Ayaz, I had planned to start by asking you who won the day, but after that last session, Australia definitely are the happy campers.
Yes, certainly. I think so. I mean, look, after Kohli's dismissal, what India have done well, and that's largely because of Ashwin and Saha, that they haven't completely been routed. They haven't been bowled out. They're not like 230 for 9. So there's still some hope that they might scrounge to 300. If they do that, then they're back somewhat in the game. But if you ask me who's won the first day, then certainly it is Australia, because 233 for 6, they restricted the run scoring, they got the wickets, they got all the top order batsmen out, and you have to give them credit for some magnificent, disciplined, probing bowling right through the day.
I'm Mendra Dorji.
And I'm Ayaz Memon.
And you're listening to the Aussie Challenge Podcast on The Quint, powered by Farm Easy and Medibuddy. Okay, I'm going to quickly take you through the scores before I get back to Ayaz with my questions. India, as we know, played Prithvi Shaw and Ridhiman Saha, but the young opener did not make good of the opportunity he was given. Out second ball, castled by Mitchell Stark, India 0 for 1 in just 2 balls. Mayank Agarwal then had Chiteshwar Pujara with him and they faced 108 balls together, making 32 runs before Cummins broke that stand. Mayank out on 17 of 40 balls. Next up was Virat Kohli, and then began India's big fight back. He and Pujara faced 191 balls together, helping India cross the 100-run mark. Pujara, though, fell to Nathan Lyon, 43 of 160 balls, with just the 2 boundaries, exactly the kind of innings that India needed him to play. Then Rahane and Virat put up another solid stand, 88 runs, before a terrible call by Rahane got the Indian skipper out on 74, and then followed a bit of a collapse as India lost 3 wickets within 19 runs. Rahane fell on 42, Vihari on 16, India were 206 for 6, when Ashwin and Saha's partnership started. They made 27 runs, in fact, off the last 35 balls of the day, to not just see off the day, but also help India post 233 for 6 at the end of day 1. Okay, so I'm going to go back to Ayaz with my questions. Ayaz, have to start with the one bright spot today, Virat Kohli. Just the kind of innings India needed. What a smooth transition also from limited overs cricket to tests. I mean, if only that run out hadn't happened, he did look good for a big one.
Certainly. I mean, look, Virat is a very accomplished performer in every format. We know it. His test record is exemplary. His record at Adelaide is fantastic. And he loves the challenge. This was not his most fluent innings. It was not, there was not too much finesse in it. What instead there was grit and determination. I think he had made it a point to go and, stick it out there. Because we didn't get off to a good start. Prithvi Shaw falling for a duck. And, it took partnerships between him and Pujara, and then him and Rahane, to pull India out of a hole against a very, very tight Australian attack. I mentioned this, Australia bowled quite superbly. But to counter that, you needed batsmen who were equally determined not to give away the wickets. And I thought Virat was quite exemplary in this situation today. I think he's relishing. He always loves the challenge and he relishes playing against the best bowlers. It brings out the best in him. And but for that unfortunate run out, I thought, which Rahane was very indecisive. Yes, no, it can happen. This is cricket. But unfortunately, after Kohli got out, Rahane seemed to lose his moorings also. He lost his way and got dismissed. Just maybe brooding too much on Kohli's dismissal. And that set India back even further, because losing both of them, 2 set batsmen, one after the other, was a massive blow.
Okay, Prithvi Shaw, I have 2 questions on Prithvi Shaw. I'm going to start by asking about his selection. Many did not like India's call to play him ahead of Shubman and even KL Rahul. But India at least sort of gave him a chance to fail, right? I mean, that's key. He's been among India's top 3 choices for test openers in the last year. So it was key that Virat actually went with this and gave him at least this opportunity today.
Yes, I mean, look, that's a good way of looking at it and putting it, because I think that's the thinking in the Indian team with Virat and with Shah. That Prithvi was their opening batsman in the last match that they played, which is about 8-9 months back, and he had got some runs there, while the others have all got runs in limited overs cricket or warm-up matches. So does it make sense to give him another chance, let him kind of consolidate his place? Yes, it does make sense. But, you know, unfortunately for Prithvi, you know, he's a young player. You can fault him to a point. But first or second ball dismissal, sometimes it's a matter of luck. And it just shows that he's also not been in good form, which we saw in the warm-up matches. Also, he plays a little loose, a little away from his body, and especially to the ball coming in, he's always vulnerable. So these are things that, the team management and Prithvi Shaw himself will have to consider very seriously. Because if this continues, then, you know, his place in the side is in serious doubt, certainly.
Actually, the second thing about Shaw I wanted to talk about was his wicket. India were, 0-2 after just two balls because he got out so early. But do you think this also would have weighed on him? I mean, he's after all just 22 or 21. I know there's a lot of cricket he's already played so far. Obviously, not just international cricket. But, you know, I mean, having so many people talk about it and so many say that India made the wrong call. So, obviously, it was weighing on him.
It would weigh, certainly, because we're all human beings and, you know, you don't like to hear negative things about you. But this is... this is a challenge which comes with being a public persona or playing at the elite level. There's so much of media today, there's so much of attention, there's so much of criticism, all praise, and all of which you have to be very, very tough in the mind to keep yourself, above, your head above all of this, And I think he has to now, take the example of guys like Virat and Rohit and maybe Dhoni earlier, who he's also played with, I think, briefly. To convince himself more than anybody else that he belongs in this position, playing at the topmost level. Because if you don't believe it yourself and you believe only the hype, then obviously there's a problem.
Okay, we can't be talking about India playing Test cricket and not talk about Pujara. Just the kind of innings that India needed him to play, just the 43 runs, just the two boundaries, but, ground it out, 218 minutes at the crease. So, he sort of helped India stage that fight back after the initial wickets?
Yes, I mean, I also think that's his kind of role, perceived and also kind of accepted by Pujara. And mind you, we can talk of the number of deliveries he took to make 43, but we've seen it in the past, including on the last tour of Australia, where, once he settles in for the long haul, then he can really quicken his run getting. He picks up pace quite magnificently. Today, I think he had, it was a very, taut battle with Nathan Lyon. It was a very absorbing battle between Pujara and Nathan Lyon. And Nathan Lyon finally got him because Lyon was testing him, probing him with flight, with turn, wearing his line. And Pujara, after a while, was beginning to step out to him, rocking back on his back foot, trying to cut him through the offside. So for me, it was a riveting contest, but it finally was won by Nathan Lyon today.
Okay, before the match, everyone did talk about how the twilight time was going to be key. Rahane talked about it before the game, actually. India lost a couple of wickets there. Australia sort of snatched back the advantage after, the partnerships that Virat had sort of built. So Australia are looking like the team who've, been unbeaten in day-night, test matches with the pink ball. I mean, they're looking like the solid side that they were expected to be.
I think, having said everything about Indian batsmen and their fortune and misfortune, I think one must acknowledge that Australia were fantastic in the field. They just bowled quite superbly, whether it was Stark or Hazelwood or Cummins or Nathan Lyon, including Cameron Green, who bowled a very tight spell. He may not have got a wicket on his debut. They just gave no room, no width to the Indian batsmen, tested them with short ball, with balls pitched up. I thought it was a fantastic bowling performance by a very powerful bowling attack. And therefore, to say that they've done well, you would expect them to do well. I thought India did well to fight off, to stave off, didn't lose too many wickets after losing one in the first over. Run getting was slow, but, that's the way test cricket can be played or should be played. You have to first ensure that you don't get bundled out cheaply. And then when they got the opening, a little, perhaps through good luck, getting a Virat run out, then they quickly picked up three wickets, Virat and Rahane and then Vihari, which pushed India back. And that's the sign of a high-quality team. But when you get the opening, you just ram it in. You ram the advantage in.
Okay, the second big selection that India made was playing Riddhiman Saha ahead of Rishabh Pant. Now, you know, Rishabh Pant made that century in the practice game. So, you know, everyone thought maybe India would go with him. But, you know, the bowling attack obviously wasn't the same as what Saha is facing today. And he and Ashwin actually managed to see out the day, which is quite a bonus for India. 27 actually in the last 35 balls.
Yes, I think it's been a very good partnership so far because they've stemmed the collapse. I mean, it looked like they might get bowled out today. Because it's a tail which doesn't hold any batting promise, you know, with Umesh and Shami and Bumrah. So it's up to these two to take it as close as possible to 300, you know, tomorrow when the game resumes. But Saha preferred to punt. I think, look, it's a very different call from Prithvi Shaw's. Saha is a far better wicketkeeper. Punt is, you know, a more explosive batsman, but Saha can also bat. So I think in a test match scenario, you need your specialist, you know, to be playing. Your better wicketkeeper has to play. If Pant had to get in, it would have to be first as a, you know, primarily as a specialist batsman. So what in a test match, what you need is a wicketkeeper batsman, not a batsman wicketkeeper. You know, that's the simple kind of a formula one has to employ. Because imagine if you have a Steve Smith or a Labuschagne and they get a life or two because of, you know, the more technically accomplished wicketkeepers not there. There's a heavy price to pay. So I think this is a very good call. And Saha didn't look out of form in the warm-up matches. He made a very good half century also.
That's true. Another player who actually made a half century in the warm-up games was Jasprit Bumrah. And you did say we don't have much promise in our tail. But what do you expect of the first session tomorrow? You think India is going to be all out, or do you think they'll manage like a 270 to 80 sort of score? Long shot, but still.
The longer they play in the first session tomorrow, if they last the whole session, they'll have done superbly because, you know, I don't think that the tail can be playing as cautiously or as defensively or as with so much circumspection as the top order. You know, they will throw their bats around. So if they bat through the session, then you're looking at maybe 75, 80, 90 runs, you know, coming through, which means it's a good, healthy score that India is reaching 300 plus. But, you know, the key is really Australia need one wicket early. You know, if they get either Saha or Ashwin, then it exposes the tail completely. And then it seems difficult that then they would last the entire session. So I think it's really dependent on how well Saha and Ashwin cope with the Aussie bowlers tomorrow. Remember, both of them are very experienced. They've got some good knocks under their belt. And, you know, this is an opportunity for them to stamp their, you know, leave their impact also in the match.
True, and we will see what happens in that first session tomorrow. We will be back with Ayaz tomorrow evening with a wrap of day two. Thank you so much for joining us today, Ayaz.
Thanks, Madhu. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And thank you all for listening to the Aussie Challenge podcast with Ayaz Memon on the Quint, powered by Farm Easy, India's largest online pharmacy, and MediBuddy.
Thanks for listening. Log on to the Quint website and check out our other podcasts.